MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
NFL Total Access, the podcast, is getting you ready for the 2024 NFL Draft. I'm your host, Andrew Levy, and I'll be delivering two shows a week to make sure you're caught up on the very latest NFL news, including every free agency move and how it changes the draft needs of your favorite team. Draft experts and talent scouts, mock drafts, and a few shock drafts, too. NFL Total Access, the podcast, is already on the clock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Monday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course the DraftKings Network. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Midland, producer number nine, so much more than a producer. Guessing lines, week 10 in the National Football League, and of course, in the process, a look back at all things week number nine. How you doing, man? You good?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good week. Good week in the NFL. Another good contest week. If only I hadn't had that 0-5, then I'd be doing something. That's what I got to overcome.
Yeah. That, you? What was that, week five? Right?
It was that one
I think
week,
it was week
dude.
Five because it was the first week of that second quarter. You went 0-5. I went 1-4.
Yeah.
Kind of buried us. I went 2-3 yesterday.
4-1 for me. We're both now a tick below 60%, so we're not allowed to talk about our entries.
No, I'll talk about
it. Over 60%. But this show, the guessing lines process, has been money. It has been really good week after week. Now we're, halfway through the NFL season in terms of the number of weeks? Nine in the books, nine to go. So could things turn for the worse? Oh, there's plenty of time for that. So we want to remain humble about it all. But it has been a great, profitable exercise thus far. And for those who are just new to it, I'm in a cocoon. I don't know the lines for the upcoming week in the NFL. I guess a line. Kelly then informs us what the actual line is. And in that exercise, we try to extract value from all of this. And so far, so good this year. First, a Survivor update before we get into week number 10 and all the shenanigans of week number 9. And there were some shenanigans. 63 entries eliminated this week in Circus Survivor, Kelly. 63. So, 1,138 remain. 1,138 remain in Circa Survivor. By the way, four of those were no picks. Still four non-submissions in Circa Survivor into November. Boy, I hope the people responsible for those entries are okay. I hope everything's okay with them.
That's wild, 'cause, right?
Because otherwise, you can't imagine why that didn't happen for them.
I know.
Yeah.
I think you said that first, like, last year or something. I was like,
we don't know.
I was like, you're right. I have no idea what's going on.
We kill these people,
yeah,
right. We have no idea what's happening in their lives. But 1,138 remain out of the original 9,267. You know what that means? The intrinsic value of each remaining entry, $8,143.23. Now, again, 1,138 entries left means this thing hasn't even started yet, in essence. Last year at this time, 115 out of 6,133 were left. That was carnage last year in the first 7 weeks. It was 125 after 7 weeks. 115 left last week. But 1,138 entries left pending tonight's game. Where I don't believe there's a pick in tonight's game. Yeah, there are. Chargers have 10 on the Chargers tonight. So perhaps more eliminated tonight. But this is a slow grind in Survivor for those still alive. Sadly, Kelly, you and I are not. And, well, had that Washington-Chicago game gone differently, I'd still be alive, and I'm really rooting for a second loss so I can just say, oh, I'd been out of it anyway.
Exactly.
But everything, all the big ones got home. The Falcons were the biggest killer for teams, folks who had entries yesterday. Only 39 on the Falcons, though. The big ones, obviously, the Browns and the Saints, which both got home.
So. Yeah, next one up, what, Patriots with four? I forgot to cross that one off. They did lose.
Yeah. 1,139 left. 38 left, pardon me. 1,138. Good luck to those remaining. Shall we begin with Thursday night football? And we'll
let's do it. Let's wait for the marquee. Let's wait for the beautiful, open.
Oh, for guessing lines, everybody. Look at that. You'd think, after all these years, I'd remember that there was a guessing lines intro.
Hey, we found a couple we liked last week. I wish it was the only thing I bet this past week.
Oh, right.
When it added bets.
The Bengals is what we liked the best last
week.
Yeah,
we loved that last week. That was great.
That worked
out. Loved the Lions the week before.
That worked out.
That was really nice. Yeah. All right, Thursday night. Get ready. Panthers at the Bears.
This is a Thursday night football game.
This is I feel like this is the worst primetime trio of games I've seen in a long, long time.
If you had to come up with a matchup for Thursday night football, could you come up with one worse than this? This is horrible.
That's a great question.
The 1-7 Panthers at the 2-7 Bears. The Panthers yesterday will pick it up. They were down 3-0 to Indianapolis second quarter. Colts went 64 yards. Minshew to Taylor from 10. That was 10-0 Colts. Then at 13-3 in favor of the Colts, Carolina's matriculating first and 10 at the Indianapolis 49, and Bryce Young telegraphs a pass picked by Kenny Moore the second, 49 yards of the house, pick six, 20-3. The Colts would lead it at the half. By the way, that was one of those pick sixes where the second it left, the millisecond that it left Bryce Young's hand, you as a viewer were like, oh no. And of course, to the house it goes. Mm-hmm. Third quarter, after an Indianapolis punt, Carolina does go 82 yards, including converting a 4th-and-1 at the Indianapolis 21 with 6:06 left in the third. Bryce to Tremble for 11. 3 plays later, Bryce to Chark from 5 out. Touchdown, 20-10 in favor of the Colts. But even that drive took forever to get downfield. You had no confidence in the Carolina offense. But then Indianapolis punted again. The Colts punted again, so you're like, okay, well, Carolina's down 10. Could this be a ball game? Carolina 2.5-point dogs in that game. They get a 3rd-and-11 from Bryce to Hurst, Hayden Hurst for 48, and you're like, wow, they got out of a jam. They got out of jail there. They're like past midfield. But 2 plays later, Bryce way overthrows his intended receiver, and guess who's on the other end of that pass? Kenny Moore the second, this time 66 yards to the house. His second pick six of the game, 27-10 Indianapolis. Just a minute and 20 seconds into the fourth quarter. Colts would win it 27-13, but not till Bryce threw another pick, and that one wasn't pretty either. Bryce, 24 of 39 for 173, 1 touchdown, 3 picks, sack 4 times, 5 carries for 41. They outgained Indianapolis, Carolina did, 275-198, but 10 penalties for 81 yards and -2 in turnovers that led directly to +14 Indianapolis points, and I mean directly on the 2 pick sixes. That's your margin of victory, period. 27-13 Colts, and Bryce Young has, I hate to say it because I love the kid, but everything that we said at the NFL draft, how are they not drafting? How are the Panthers not drafting C.J. Stroud? How are they drafting Bryce Young? We lost all our bets because of it, but It's kind of manifesting here in the season.
Yeah, it's it is what it is, but kind of like you said, man, if you're a Panthers fan, I don't want to jump to conclusions, but the next couple years might be kind of rough watching what you got versus what's going on in Houston.
Panthers off that loss at Chicago. Chicago loses to the Saints yesterday. Much of the happiness of many a survivor player who had the Saints. Chicago opening drive, 4th-and-1 at the New Orleans 37. Secret Bajent man for 5. 3 plays later, Bajent to Kmet. Great catch from Cole Kmet from 18 out, 7-0 Bears. After a New Orleans punt, 2nd-and-15 at their own 41 for Chicago. Bajent picked by Paulson Adebo. That led to a short 45-yard field for the Saints. Carr to Olave on 3rd-and-goal from the 8. It was 7-7 with 44 seconds left in the first. Bears came right back, 75 yards. Bajent to Kmet again for 9. 14-7 Bears. Then 12:52 left in the second quarter. But then New Orleans came right back, 75 yards. Carr to Taysom Hill from 2 out. Tie ball game again, 14 apiece, 6:05 left in the second quarter. Cairo Santos then doinked a 40-yard field goal in the ensuing drive. 14-14 would be the halftime score. After Group A had a 55-yard field goal that was set up by a DJ Moore fumble, and Chicago answered with a Santos 31-yarder. It was 17-17 at that point, tied again. Teams traded punts. Then New Orleans went 53 yards. Hill to Juwan Johnson from 3 out, 24-17 New Orleans. Now, from this point forward, Kelly, the game was just a 7-point margin where Chicago just kept getting rebuffed in this ballgame. Bajent picked on the Bears' second play on the ensuing drive. Marcus May on the other end of that. But the Chicago D held when they stopped Carr short on a 4th-and-1 at the Chicago 17. Then still down 7. 3rd-and-9 at their own 29 for Chicago. Bajent picked by Paulson Adebo again. 5:08 to go. But New Orleans can't do anything with it. Chicago held to a 3-and-out. New Orleans gets it back with 2:45 to go, but that resulted in a Group A missed 47-yard field goal. In fact, he doinked that one. No good. Bears got the ball back down 7 again with 2:26 to go. Second play of that drive, though, 2nd-and-20 at their own 27. 2:16 to go. Bajent sacked by DeMario Davis. Fumbled. Pete Werner recovered. Ball game. 24-17 New Orleans. Bajent 18 of 30 for 220. 2 touchdowns, 3 picks. He was sacked twice. 8 for 70 on the ground with 1 fumble loss. They outgained Chicago did New Orleans 368 to 301, but -5 in turnovers led to +10 New Orleans points. But the last 3 in the fourth quarter stymied any chance, as we just mentioned, of Chicago having to come back from that 24-17 one score deficit. By the way, we have this tweet from Fabian Summer over at where's Fabian Summer? He's at Action. No, Fabian Summer is with Rob Pozzola at the Hammer. Pardon me. Fabian Summer's over at the Hammer. He said the Saints had a 5-0 turnover advantage and didn't cover. Teams with a +5 turnover margin were 227-12-1 against the spread since 1989. 1989.
That is wild.
That is wild. Sorry, I was doing Public Enemy. Okay, and so the Saints get the +5 turnover advantage, still can't cover. But the Bears don't get the win. So this is Carolina at Chicago. We probably made more of this than I should have. The 1-7 Panthers at the 2-7 Bears. I couldn't decide between the Bears -4 or the Bears -3.5. I ended up with the Bears -3.5.
Ding, 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 ding. Right on. 3.5.
3.5 on the Bears.
Yep. Yeah, up from 3 earlier. I think that's where it opened most places, but it is 3.5 now at DraftKings.
Came my way. Wasn't that initially?
Yeah, okay. It was Bears 3 earlier. That's why I punched these in earlier this morning, about 4 hours ago. We're 3.5 pretty much everywhere in the market right now.
Not much to say about these two teams other than Arizona's probably still worse with Clayton Tune than the both of these teams are. So I think, again, Eric Eager's greatest call is Arizona will end up with a number one pick. We'll get to them if they're going with Kyler Murray or with Clayton Tune or what's happening there. But these two teams going nowhere fast, still can't get in the win column. But I will say the Tyson Bajent experience has been better than most would have expected of D2 quarterback,
yeah,
for sure.
I mean, you know, going back to that tweet real quick, that was – I was sitting there the whole game. I had the Saints tied into a teaser. I didn't end up getting home. But, like, sitting there, you're like, well, how many times are you going to turn the ball over and still be live in this game? And he set them up for a little bit of success, at least early on.
We'll come back. We'll continue with Week 10 games. We'll get to the Sunday slate. And we'll talk Kansas City-Miami, which I know they're both on buys this week. We've got to touch on that game yesterday from Frankfurt. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Guessing lines for Week 10.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market
as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Gil Alexander. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. James O'Connor. Gil, you're seeing the ball well lately. Megapod has been on an epic run with all of our picks. So check it out again, the Beating the Book Megapod for all those on the Beating the Book feed. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Hope it lasts. Ray Pierce, I have a three-team Moneyline parlay. Ravens, Bengals, and Chargers. I'm pretty sure you guaranteed that nothing could go wrong. Yeah, that's right. That's exactly what I guaranteed. You have any play on tonight's game, Chargers and Jets?
No, I got nothing. I'd be leaning Chargers, which I feel like is in the minority. I feel like I know multiple people that have bets on the Jets tonight, but I can't get there.
Grayson Rossi pointing out to us that Pete Futak, our lovely college football friend, doesn't understand the logic of down eight going for two, so you know, quote, exactly what you need. Pete says, if you kick the extra point, you know exactly what you need. We'll have to have a discussion with Pete about that later in the week. Oh, man. Jesse Will.
It wasn't last night the perfect example of, like, you saw it play out where they get the two.
Yeah.
So, like, now you know that they have a better chance of winning after that.
Second half wagers came down to that two-point conversion, by the way. Talk about Sean McDermott, yeah. Because I think it was Cincinnati plus six. Jesse Welch, just want to congratulate us all who had made Stroud the number one overall pick. The Texans and Panthers season thus far are payment enough for my bets that should have cashed. I wish it worked that way. Let's see. This is just to follow Visa. It says, I'm not 100% on what happened because of stupid adult responsibilities taking my attention, but my Texans minus 2.5 would have benefited from them signing Matt Brown mid-drive, right? Well, it worked out for him anyway.
I was actually surprised we didn't get 10 times more tweets about that yesterday.
We'll get a bunch of them. The Better Life, Tim Lawson. I'll say it again. I'm growing tired of commentators mentioning analytics in a way that sounds like they're apologizing to the viewer for the decision that's being made in the game. Oh, I 100% agree with that. And we'll do one more here. It's not juice if you win. Why can't you talk about your circa picks after the fact? Oh, I can. Also, can you explain how to calculate the value of your survivor pool so I can figure it out for my own pool? Thank you. Always love the show, boys. I think he's talking about the intrinsic value, just the total money in the pool divided by the number of entries remaining. That's all I'm talking about there. And then in terms of what I had yesterday, I lost on the Panthers. I couldn't come up with a fifth pick. I was like, well, I don't know. I'm gonna hope the Panthers are as good as some folks say they are, because it's tough to get to five.
I can't do it. This past weekend was
tough to get to five.
It's when the list started.
Yeah,
Gil, of teams that I can't handle anymore. Either betting against or just having it a bet altogether. Yeah. Panthers are on that list.
It was dumb.
I tried to get cute with them a couple weeks. Worked out one time. Nope. See you later.
Four that I had correct. As if you listen to Guessing Lines, you knew that I liked Cincinnati. Who got it done against Buffalo last night. I liked Washington. Yep. If you listened to the show last week, you heard me talk about how I don't think the line should have moved when Washington got rid of both Montez Sweat and Chase Young. I liked the Eagles, which was super-duper fortunate, by the way. I completely admit it, but I didn't buy into what, like, all of our guests loved Dallas last week. I just didn't. I've seen too many Philly-Dallas games to have understood that conviction. So that got that was fortunate that got home. And the fourth one, and I'm drawing a blank now on what the fourth one was, go Kansas City against Miami. And if you listen to the Megapod on that, that was kind of just a default. I've been saying Miami's a bully all this time, and I'm like, and I needed to come up with enough picks. And I'm like, I'll just take Kansas City until Miami proves me otherwise. So that was my four or five. About that Kansas City-Miami game yesterday, I realized both teams are on byes this week, so this won't apply to Week 10. But Kansas City does get it done 21-14. It was a tale of two halves. In fact, with 2:31 left in the second quarter, Kansas City was outgaining Miami 201-67 at that point in the game, and they were up 14-0. From that point, 2:31, left in the second quarter to the end of the game, and I'll just do the quick math with the final total yards. Miami outgained Kansas City 225-66, and they end up losing 21-14, Miami does, on a final sequence. They're taking the ball downfield. That final sequence of four downs for Miami, Tua like regressed into like a high school quarterback, it felt like.
Yeah.
On that last sequence, they got the ball all the way to the Kansas City 31 with 1:17 left on two Mostert runs of 25 and 19, but then three incomplete passes, one looking worse than the previous. Like, where are you throwing the ball kind of thing? And then on fourth down, a wayward snap, and that was the ball game. So Kansas City does get it done. But in order, I fully admit this, though we say it all the time, the NFL is Plinko. In order to end up with good records in the NFL, you got to get the best of these kind of toss-up games in the end. And so they've worked out for me, admittedly. But did you learn anything about either team? I just want to – I'll put one question to you because Dolphins are exactly who they thought they were. They're a bully. Todd Wishnev said something very interesting about the Chiefs yesterday. We're so locked into thinking of them as a offensive juggernaut.
Mm-hmm.
Has the time come for us to think about them as actually a better defensive team than offensive team, and that it's really just the power of Mahomes on offense?
Oh, I think there's a lot of that going on this year. I will say, I think that if at the end of the year, if we're saying that this was a better defense than an offense, though, the Kansas City Chiefs are not winning a Super Bowl.
That very well could be true.
Just overall. I hear what Todd's saying,
because yeah.
Yes, it is basically only Mahomes on offense right now.
I think there's some wisdom in that, though, right? Like, we don't really think of them in the same way that they are now.
I think that's where it's – look, the defense is covering up and helping them get wins, that covering up some major problems on this offense right now. And there's a lot of the – you know, NFL trade deadline, we could talk about this stuff for days, but some of these teams that just feel like there's an obvious need and can't go out and get something to help. The wide receivers, of course, is just so thin here. Like, they needed something.
Let's go to do a game on Sunday morning. Let's
back to Germany.
One.
Colts at Patriots.
In Germany once again. Oh, Colts-Patriots. This ain't your Dolphins-Chiefs game, Germans.
Yeah, enjoy this one.
4-5 Colts, 2-7 Patriots. You see Bill Belichick's record without Tom Brady? Can we flash that up on the screen? Ho, ho, ho. He ain't no Joe Jackson Gibbs. I don't care what any of y'all say. As witnessed by his straight-up record without Tom Brady, which we'll get to momentarily. Indianapolis, as we just talked about, beats... they beat Carolina on strength of those two pick sixes. Minshew was 17 of 26 for 127 in the victory. Again, they were outgained by the Panthers 275 to 198. But those two pick sixes were everything. New England loses to Washington outright 20-17. Opening Pat's drive of the game after a Washington 3-and-out to start. 4th-and-3 at the Washington 39. They went for it. Jones, incomplete, attended for Tyquan Thornton. Skins eventually got a sly 37-yard field goal, 3-0 Washington. Then after New England 3-and-out again, Washington, the Commodores, they went 80 yards, Robinson in from 9, 10-0 Washington. Could it be a rout? Of course not. It's Washington. 12:05 left in the second quarter. Then after a New England 3-and-out, Washington 2nd-and-8 at their own 16, Robinson hit by Jelani Tavia. Fumbles, Devon Godshaw recovers, sets up New England at the Washington 25, 3 plays in, Jones to... Hunter Henry from 14 out, 10-7. Commodores, 9:26 left in the second quarter. Then after a Washington punt, New England went 84 yards in two plays. Jones to Juju for 20. Then Ramondre from 64 out to the house. 14-10 New England, 6:01 left in the second quarter. And then Washington took it all the way downfield from their own 20 to the New England 5. And Sam Howell with a horrific pick in the end zone. Kyle Duggar on the other end. So New England led this 14-10 at the half. And Washington led in total yards 246 to 163. Time of possession was 21 minutes and 42 seconds to 8:18. But because of the minus two in turnovers, they trailed 14-10. Opening drive of the second half, 3rd-and-10 at the Washington 38 for Mac Jones. He's sacked by KJ Henry. He fumbles and the commodes recover. But no, Kelly, roughing the passers called. 15 yards for playing football, 15 yards for tackling. Results in a free 3 points eventually for New England. Chad Ryland for 43 was 17-10. New England with 10:14 left in the third quarter. And if you were a Washington fan at this point, or you had the Commodores in a bet, you were infuriated. This is the worst roughing the passer call I think I might have ever seen. Well, it's up there. There's been plenty of them. I can't say it's
the worst one of this week.
Skins came right back, 75 yards, though. Howell to Dotson from 33 out. Tie ball game at 17 with 6:51 left in the third. Then after New England punt, followed by a sly 30-yard field goal. 2017 Washington, 1:49 left in the third quarter. That would be your final because the teams traded punts. Washington was like fourth and one at their own 40. They're like, we'll punt it with 11:21 to go. Then they traded punts again. New England punted once more. And after a three and out, Washington got the ball back up three with 5:04 to go at their own five. Fourth and two at their own 27. New England would jump offside when Washington was in punt formation. That extended the drive. And then New England ended up with the ball down three at their own 10 with 2:07 left and no timeouts. But fourth and four at the Washington 49 with 1:02 to go. Jones intended for Juju. First, it gets to Juju for six, but two plays later, by the way, they convert that fourth down. Second and eight at the Washington 41 with 38 seconds to go. Jones picked by Jartavius Martin off the deflection, ball game, and Washington holds on. Jones was 24 of 44 for 220. They gave up 432 total yards to Washington. I will say New England and Indianapolis will be a pick 'em in Germany. What else can you make?
Colts 2-point favorites.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't. It's a coin flip. Like, how can you? Who was a favorite in this game? I mean, maybe so. Maybe Indianapolis should be a tick because New England is terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Coming back, more to guess, looking for value. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James. LeBron James.
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here are three reasons Zyn is America's number one nicotine pouch. We use food-grade ingredients. We have a wide selection of varieties, and they all come in two strengths. Find Zyn at a store near you.
Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, we get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback and the reaction from everybody. Joey Sinante. As old as that Billy Walters commercial's getting, it still isn't worse than Pat Boone trying to get me to buy Silver and Gold that aired like 2 years ago. That's very true.
I remember that one.
Pat Boone is very insistent on it. Joe Abraham, you guys might have already tried this, but an open invite to the show for anyone who failed to submit their Survivor pick would be a fun segment if any accepted. That's a great idea, and it is an open invitation. Let me just say this, but God, I feel bad for those folks. You know, again, four non-submissions in the month of November. We're this far in. And again, I always worry about those people. Like, what's happening in their lives?
Yeah, I'm going to make a call and say I don't want to hear from those people. Because either something bad probably happened or they're pissed off. I mean, they're not going to be happy.
I'm going to make a call above your call and say, call us. We want you on the show. Judd O'Connor, Colts last year and Panthers this year. The malpractice Reich is performing to these NFL franchises should make him as employable as McDaniels. Yeah, I wouldn't go that far. I don't think he wanted Bryce Young. I think he wanted C.J. Stroud. Phil Weiss, I guess your 60% rule only pertains to everyone else. Well, Phil, the gentleman by the name of It's Not Juice If You Win asked me directly, so that's why I gave the picks of what I just had. I'm talking about moving forward. We're not going to talk about our sub-60% entries in any kind of excitable way or excited way that we might actually cash in this. But, oh, if we get above 60%, Kelly, all bets are off. Tom Collins. Gil, thank you for keeping the great Joe Gibbs as the top NFL coach of the modern era. Coach Gibbs won the 3 Super Bowls with 3 average quarterbacks. No Hall of Famers. That is correct, sir. Coach Belichick has won how many without Brady? That is also correct. By the way, here's Brady's record. Do we have that finally? Brady's record without Bill Belichick.
81-95.
Or I should say Belichick's record without Brady as his quarterback. 81-95 straight up lifetime. Do you know what Joe Gibbs' record is without Tom Brady? 3 Super Bowl titles. That's what his record is without Tom Brady. Just want to point that out. All right, let's do more of these. Let's get some value. Let's get some bets.
Early window on Sunday, 10 Pacific time, 1 Eastern, Texans at Bengals.
Texans 4-4 under D'Amico Ryans. Bengals now 5-3 after that win last night against the Buffalo Bills. Houston, first of all, this was a game of the day, I think. Philly-Dallas gave it a run. But I'm going to say this was the game of the day between Houston and Tampa Bay. Third play from scrimmage, Stroud to Schultz, fumble, sets up a McLaughlin 35-yard field goal, 3-0 Tampa. Ensuing drive, Houston goes 7 plays, 75 yards. Stroud to Nico Collins for 14, 7-3 Houston. Then Tampa Bay, 75 yards. Mayfield to Kate Otten from 3 yards out, 10-7 Tampa. We're still in the first quarter. Teams trade 3 and outs. Then after another Houston 3 and out, Bucks go 40 yards on a short field set up by an unsportsmanlike penalty on the punt return. Rashad White eventually in from 17-7 Tampa Bay. 9:05 left of the second quarter. They got some cushion. 20-10 Tampa Bay. Third quarter now. First play, Texans have the ball in the second half. Stroud and Noah Brown for 75, mostly yak. But with Fairbairn hurt, we learned that Kyahmi Fairbairn got hurt at some point in the first half with a quad injury. Now, Kelly, I am no field goalologist or kickerologist, but I'm told a quad injury is important. He couldn't go.
Yeah.
So Houston, down now 20-16, they go for 2 because they don't have a kicker. People are like, why are they going for 2? They're only down 4. They don't have a kicker. They fail, by the way. So it remains 20-16, 12-20 left in the third quarter. Now it's 23-16. Tampa Bay's up a touchdown. Houston goes 79 yards, drive to Tank Dell from 29 out. 23-22. Remember, they have no kicker. So they go for 2. Stroud misfires, intended for Dell again. 23-22, it remains. 5:59 left in the third quarter. This was bananas. After a Tampa Bay 3 and out, Houston gets to 4th and goal at the Atlanta 9. Now remember, no kicker. But in this case, no kicker, no problem. Stroud to Schultz, touchdown. 2-point conversion is good. Stroud takes it himself, and all of a sudden, Houston is up 7. 14-11 to go. Tampa Bay comes right back, though, 75 yards. Mayfield to Evans for 53, the big one, setting up a White 1-yard touchdown plunge. 30-30, 11:43 to go. Houston ends up with a 4th and goal at the 11 with 8:48 left. Remember, no Kyahmi Fairbairn. No problem. Dare Ogunbowale, a running back. 29-yard field goal. He's kicking the ball off, too, after this. Good. 33-30, Texans, 8:41 to go. Dare Ogunbowale is your kicker now. Teams trade 3 and outs. Houston with some fumble luck, by the way, when Stroud got stripped on 3rd and 18 at their own 14, but George Fant landed on it. Always remember fumble luck, boys and girls. Tampa Bay, the matriculate, starting at their 39 with 4:27 to go. They're down 3. They get to a 3rd and 23 at their own 38 with 1:55 to go. Mayfield to Trey Palmer for 21. Then 4th and 2 at the Houston 41. Mayfield for a gutsy 5 yards. 3 plays later, Mayfield to Otten for 14 out. Touchdown. Tampa Bay's going to win this. 46 seconds to go. 37-33 Bucks. 46 seconds. What could happen, right? Well, Stroud could happen. C.J. Stroud to Schultz for 14. Timeout, Houston. Then to Schultz for 2, final timeout for Houston. Then to Noah Brown for 18. Then to Tank Dell for 26, tiptoeing the sidelines. Then to Dell in the end zone. Touchdown from 15 out, 6 seconds to go. 39-37 Houston. Here's the issue. A lot of people had Houston minus 2.5. So all you got to do is kick the extra point, right? Right, but you don't have a kicker. Also, here's the thing on the 2-point conversion. You don't want to risk something going nuts and fumbling and having the Bucks return it for a 2-point score the other direction. So you know what D'Amico Ryans absolutely correctly does? They kneel on the football.
Yep.
Oh, the conspiracy theorists go crazy out there, but it was the correct football play.
Yes, absolutely the correct thing to do.
Just a smart play. By the way, touchback on the kickoff from your running back kicker now. Pitchy, pitchy, woo-woo fails. Ball game. Houston, Texans, 39. Bucks, 37. Buccaneers get the money. ATS, but Houston gets the win. Stroud, 30 for 42. A rookie record, 470. Five touchdowns with matches a rookie record, by the way. Did not throw a pick, was sacked three times. Noah Brown, 6 for 153 and a touchdown. Schultz, 10 for 130 and a touchdown. Dell, 6 for 114 and two touchdowns. They outgained Tampa Bay 496 to 332 in a game where both teams combined for 18 penalties and 205 yards. What a win for Houston. And let me just say this. Rookie of the year, offensive rookie of the year, rest in peace. It is C.J. Stroud's. Mm-hmm. He is as high as anywhere between $5 to like $7 this morning, minus 500 to minus 700. You are betting against an injury if you're betting anybody else at this point with C.J. Stroud. Good on him. Absolutely good on him. Who are they playing again? That was two. That took forever. Cincinnati?
Cincinnati.
Cincinnati. It deserved it, by the way. What a dramatic.
Wait, real quick, though.
Yeah.
Would you have kicked the field goal?
The extra point, you mean?
No, the field goal that they kicked with Ugbedali.
Oh, earlier in the quarter?
Butchering his name. Yeah.
I mean, they know more about him than I do, so they must have been confident enough that he could hit one inside 30, which he did.
I mean, don't get me wrong, it was the exact like example of Matt Brown freaking out about that nobody could kick. But
that's
like,
exactly right.
I mean, if I'm a head coach, this is not someone who I would think is regularly working out with the special teams. Like you've gotten to see, I would think, is 6 or 7 kicks during pregame workouts. You know, whatever. I know it was at the 11-yard line. What else are you going to do?
The whole reason Matt Brown decided to kick these field goals on this show is because he couldn't believe a punter couldn't kick a 21-yarder.
Well, someone on the team couldn't.
Well,
yeah.
A punter specifically,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And they didn't have one apparently either.
I was a little surprised they went for it, but they made it.
Cincinnati beats Buffalo last night. They traded touchdowns at the beginning of the game. Cincinnati had the ball twice, Buffalo once. It was 14-7 Cincinnati with seconds left in the first quarter. Then they traded punts. Buffalo down 7. They have a 2nd and 10 at their own 12. Allen was picked by Cam Taylor-Britt. That set up Cincinnati at the 32, but they couldn't do anything with it. The 2nd and 1 at the 23, no gain. Then a delay game, then a hold, then an offside sack, a false start. Anyway, they had to punt. So it's still 14-7, but then Buffalo 3 and out. Cincinnati 4th and 1 at the Buffalo 36. With 2:39 left in the second quarter, they're up 7. Burrow to Chase for 11. 3 plays later, Burrow to Drew Sample for 22. 21-7 Cincinnati, 1:37 left in the second quarter. That's how the half would end. After Allen was called for an intentional grounding that would knock Buffalo out of field goal range. Remember, we saw that earlier in the year with Geno Smith. It doesn't matter to the officials what your intention is as quarterback. If you misread the play, if you don't know where the wide receiver is going to end up, they just care about where the ball lands. And so 21-7 at the half, Buffalo would get a Tyler Bass field goal to make it 21-10. A little later on, Cincinnati 4th and 5 at the Buffalo 37 with 2:21 left in the third quarter. They would only gain 2 on a Burrow to Sample pass. Buffalo got the ball back. They would matriculate 1st and 10 at the Cincinnati 22, down 11. Allen to Dalton Kincaid, though, and he fumbled, though. Cincinnati would get another 20-yard chip shot field goal from McPherson to make it 24-10. And then Buffalo, you know, late in the game, 12 plays, 75 yards. They took 4:32. Allen to Diggs for 17. They went for 2, and they got it. Allen to Diggs, down 8, down from 14 to 8. They went for 2 to make it 6. That made Buffalo a second-half spread winner, but Buffalo never saw the ball again, and Cincinnati takes home the money pre-flop. I will say Cincinnati minus 7 and a hook at home against
Houston.
Okay,
so interesting. This opened like 7, 7.5. I think even got up to 8, but it is back down to 7 pretty much. Yeah, 8 at DraftKings earlier this morning. Is down to 7.
More guessing lines on the other side. Numbers Game, VEASAN in the Sports Betting Network.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Skill Alexander, we get tweets at Beat of the Book. A lot of people fascinated by the fact that the whole punter-kicker thing and the Matt Brown, like this is why Matt Brown went crazy about it. Tom Steffen says, I'll never understand why teams don't have punters and kickers cross-train as emergency backups. What else do they do during the week? And Nash, last name Mash, I'm officially on Matt Brown's side if punters are useless if they can't be utilized as your break glass backup kicker. Seriously, why pay millions of dollars for these guys just to punt the football, which only Ron Rivera gets joy out of? It's joy out of doing. Trip Tepper points out another big point in that Texans-Bucks game. He said, Bowles' clock management in the Texans-Bucks game was atrocious. He burned the final timeout at 49 seconds to avoid a 10-second runoff from Houston. From the Houston 14, you want less time in case you score. Next play, touchdown. Bowles handed Houston two more plays with that decision. Stroud touchdown with 6 seconds left. And then Shine the Professor. Did this just leave my screen? There it is. Shine the Professor, Professor Shine, said Bill Belichick had an impossible situation in Cleveland. No quarterback. Won a playoff game with Testaverde all in the middle of Modell threatening to move the Browns, which he did by announcing the move in the middle of Belichick's final season. Browns were top five defense. Yeah, I'm not saying he's a terrible coach. He's a Hall of Famer. But I'll take the guy, again, just comparing him to, because we had this discussion through the lens of Bruce Bochy last week. Is Bruce Bochy the greatest manager of our lifetime, just like Joe Gibbs is the greatest coach? Yes, because the both of them won multiple titles with nothing. Like, there's not a kid who's 25 years old. Do you think there's a kid who's 25 years old today that can name one of those Washington players? One of them. Seriously. Rigo, maybe?
No, nobody.
Again, won three Super Bowls. One with a quarterback who no one in the NFL wanted and had to play in the CFL. Or at least Miami didn't want him, and Joe Theismann. One with a guy who nobody in the NFL wanted in Doug Williams, maybe for other reasons, by the way, at that time. And then one with a 6th-round draft pick at a Wazoo by the name of Mark Rippon. Again, just name the quarterbacks. I'll take that guy. He had strike seasons to overcome. He had teams that he took scabs to a 3-0 record that movies were made of. So anyway, we could have that argument forever. But I'll go with the Bochys and the Gibbses of the world. Okay, what's next?
Saints at Vikings.
Saints at Vikings. All right, Saints at Vikings. Ooh, this is a sneaky good game.
Yeah.
5-4 Saints, 5-4 Vikings. Derek Carr in that win over the Bears yesterday was 25-34 for 211. Two touchdowns, no picks. He was sacked zero times. Taysom Hill, one pass completed, 1-for-1 for 3 yards and a touchdown. 11 carries for 52 yards and 4 catches for 13 and a touchdown. Taysom Hill becomes the 5th player to join the NFL's 10-10-10 club. 10 passing touchdowns, 10 receiving touchdowns, and 10 rushing touchdowns. Mazel tov to Taysom Hill.
I did not catch that. It becomes the 4th player?
5th.
5th?
Yes.
There's 4 other guys that have done this?
Yes. I'll get you the names on the break.
Like, past the year 1938?
I don't know what year it's past. I'm just telling you. Past the year, I don't know. They were outgained by Chicago. New Orleans was 368-301, but +5 in turnovers, as we mentioned yesterday. +5 that led to +10 New Orleans net points. But the last three of those turnovers in the fourth quarter stymied any chance Chicago had to come back from their 24-17 deficit. But again, we showed that record earlier from the gentleman Fabian Summer over at the Hammer, which is you can't cover with plus five in turnovers.
That's incredible.
It's so rare. And then there's the Minnesota Vikings. What a story this was yesterday. Josh Dobbs, who got there a second and a half ago, which is the second time this year that Josh Dobbs has gotten somewhere a second and a half ago and had it a star for. By the way, it was his fifth team. Josh Dobbs is fifth team since November of last year, since week 15 of last year. It's his fifth team.
Sitting all week, too, wondering why the hell do you, like, Vikings, you really believe, you traded for Josh Dobbs? Like, you really believe this is going to give your team this much of a boost? They didn't even need to give the guy a full week of practice.
Oh, I think they knew. I think they knew this is, if they're going to go for it, this was exactly the guy to get, right? Vikings 31, Falcons 28, but we thought we were getting Jaren Hall this week for the full game. Teams traded punts and field goals to start the game, but on one play before the Minnesota field goal to tie it at three, Jaren Hall hit on his try to get in the end zone, hurt, ruled out almost immediately, or at least a few plays after that, and Joshua Dobbs makes his debut. He didn't even know, Kelly, he didn't even know his teammates' names in some cases.
Yeah.
After an Atlanta punt, Minnesota at their own five, Dobbs sacked by Calais Campbell in the end zone. Safety 5-3 Atlanta, 14-01 left second quarter. Then an 8-3 game, Atlanta's up. First and 10 at their own 26, Dobbs hit by Arnold Ebikati, fumbles. Lorenzo Carter recovers, returns at 19 yards. But the Minnesota defense held, led to another coup field goal, 11-3 Atlanta. All right, Vikings then go 75 yards. Set up by a 3rd-and-11 conversion by Hobbs from the Atlanta 14, where Next Gen had him going 59.7 yards on the scramble. Was unbelievable. And then Hobbs to Madison from two out, two plays later, 11-10 Atlanta. What a play by Dobbs. And you thought, well, he can't make a better play than that. Oh, yes, he could. Third quarter, 14. You know,
when we hit halftime, smash Atlanta second half. Are you kidding me? Smash them.
You smashed them.
Oh, yeah. We're the scores in this situation. Josh Dobbs has been there for 4 days. He doesn't know these guys' names. He doesn't know plays. I know he's been great all year. The heck with that. I don't even like Atlanta. Smash Atlanta second half.
What did you do to Atlanta second half?
Smash!
Third quarter, 14-13 Atlanta now. Atlanta goes 75 yards, 60 on an almost all-yak touchdown pass from Heinicke to Jonnu Smith, or as we're calling him now, Janu. 21-13 Atlanta, 6:52 left third quarter. Heinicke's going crazy. Then after a Minnesota three and out, Atlanta first play, first and 10 at their own 18. Bijan hit by Caleb Evans, fumbles. Josh Metellus recovers. Minnesota short field of the Atlanta 46 plays. Dobbs in from 18. I love when he does that. Did it for the Cardinals a lot, too. 21-19. And then on the two-point
conversion. He doesn't know the plays, Gills. That's all he can do.
Hobbs to Tristan Jackson on the two-point conversion. We're tied at 21 with 2:20 left in the third. Then Heinicke throws a pick on the very first play of the ensuing drive. Byron Murphy Jr. on the other end, because of course he does. That leads to a Joseph 31-yard field goal. 24-21 Minnesota with 14:18 to go. Then after the team's trade punts, Atlanta goes 80 yards, including a 3rd-and-8. Heinicke conversion with his feet. Then Algier eventually in from five out. Atlanta takes the lead 28-24 with 2:08 to go. And the people who smashed Atlanta are feeling good.
Oh, yeah. This is perfect. Now we're left with such limited time. He doesn't know the plays, doesn't know the names. He can't possibly pull this off, Gil.
Minnesota ends up with a 4th-and-7 at the Atlanta 34 with 52 seconds to go. You're feeling good.
Here it is. I just need one stop. One stop.
And then Joshua Hobbs with an impossible 22-yard scramble. What's that? Oh, it's a typo. Joshua Dobbs. Do I keep saying Hobbs?
Yes. Oh. Said it like three times this weekend.
Oh, you know why? Because it's in my thing. I had to change away.
Hey. Gil, a big Hobbs and Shaw fan.
Sorry, guys. Joshua Dobbs. I'm so sorry. Joshua Dobbs with an impossible 22-yard scramble. Impossible. 1st-and-10 at the Atlanta 12 with 39 seconds to go. Down 4. Incomplete. To Hockenson for 6. Then to Brandon Powell for the remaining 6. Touchdown, Minnesota. 31-28. 22 seconds to go. That's how it would end. Dobbs, 20 of 30 for 158, 2 touchdowns, no picks. He was sacked 3 times. 7 for 66 on the ground, a touchdown. He did lose 2 fumbles. Minnesota beats Atlanta 31-28. Minnesota by 1.5. I'll split the difference between a pick 'em and a 3.
This is the biggest Dobbs so far this year. Gil, the number one, it is. What did you just say? What was your guess?
Minnesota minus 1.5.
Saints minus 2.5.
Oh, the wrong team's favorite.
You had one. I couldn't remember.
Wrong
I couldn't remember
favorite.
Which one it was. It was this one.
Let me just ask you this. Okay. I know we're supposed to do a second game here, but ask you this.
Nah, this deserves it.
When you think of Derek Carr, when the average person thinks of Derek Carr, Am I correct when I say they think of Derek Carr as not an elite quarterback, but a better than average NFL quarterback? Yeah. Slightly better than average.
Better than Jimmy Garoppolo, yeah.
Okay. When they think of Joshua Dobbs, forget about Joshua Hobbs for a second, but when they think about Joshua Dobbs, do you think that the average person thinks of Josh Dobbs as a journeyman, pick up off the scrap heap, below average, slightly below average, but feisty NFL quarterback?
Yeah, I think you just described him perfectly. What
okay.
Most people think.
I have the opposite opinion of both. I think I would take Josh Dobbs over Derek Carr 10 out of 10 times at the ends of any NFL game. Because Derek Carr, I'm going back to his Raiders days.
Okay, yeah.
Historically, whenever there's a key decision to be made late in a game, he always makes the wrong one. Not always, but usually makes the wrong one. Josh Dobbs, I don't care what uniform we've seen him in, Tennessee's, Arizona's, now with the Vikings, he is always making plays. The Saints could win this game, but they shouldn't be favored. I think the Vikings should be favored.
Yeah, I can't. I doubt I'll be getting involved in this. I think it's interesting to say. I hear what you're saying.
Huge football game for both.
Yeah, it's a huge game. I kind of snickered when you first said sneaky, because I think for us as bettors, you don't think of like, yeah, just look at records. They're 5-4. Both these teams are 5-4.
Yeah.
And Dobbs has been incredible. He is the ultimate. So far this season, nobody else that I can put higher on my list of, sir, I must tip my cap to you because you have beaten me soundly betting against you and proven me time and time again that I shouldn't be doing this.
Sorry when I put in Dobbs in my notes. It autocorrects to Hobbs. Apparently they don't like the name Dobbs. And so then I Ron Burgundy through it. My apologies. To Joshua Dobbs and the entire Dobbs family. Because I love you, man.
And all any right, Josh Hobbs out there.
That's a bet. That's a bet for me.
Okay.
Minnesota. A whole bunch more games to get to. We will do so on the other side.
The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all proudly brought to you by Bar Canada at the D. Bar Canada for our Spanish speakers out there, right here at the D. El D. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. Guessing lines for week number 10 in the National Football League, trying to extract value, an exercise that has worked splendidly with the exception of 1 week thus far this year. Splendidly. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Torch D. Bought my uncle a Gem Mint 10 C.J. Stroud card for his birthday a few months ago. Kind of want that back now. I don't blame you, Torch D. Shine still wants to do the Gibbs-Belichick, Gibbs-Belichick debate. I love you, Shine. Gibbs had Bobby Beathard as the GM. True. Beathard was responsible for players and was very savvy with old IT rules. IT? When Beathard went to San Diego, that's how he got Stan Humphries. Also, Rippon was on the 87 inactive roster. Oh, you don't have to tell me, Shine. Never played until 1990, not allowed to stockpile quarterbacks, on and on. Maybe Belichick needs a new GM, he says. Yes, he should fire himself as the GM. That's for sure.
We all know what's going on, right? He's just waiting until he gets that wins record, and then it's see you later.
Yeah. You hear who was the rumor? Someone started the rumor that he would end up in Washington, speaking of conflating the two things, that next year Josh Harris will.
I've heard a couple. Yeah. But by the way, really quick, did you see the Glazer report on this Raiders stuff? Speaking of the Patriots.
Oh, what was that? They went crazy when they won and they had a airing of grievances and they hate Josh McDaniels.
Oh, it was like McDaniels. Like McDaniels asking Antonio Pierce to like make a speech to the, go see Glazers, go to his Twitter, see what he actually said. But like asked Antonio Pierce to like give a speech to the players to kind of help hype them up after they're playing bad, right? Mm-hmm. He's not able to get through to the players. So he uses is an example of the Giants beating the Patriots, and McDaniels pulls him aside afterward and says, never do that again.
Yeah.
Never do that again. Got upstairs to Mark Davis. Good for you, Mark Davis. I've turned a corner on
I
that.
I believe that report, and I did hear that report. I believe that report more than I believe the one that came out last week. Did you see that one?
I don't even think that the one you sent me.
Mark Davis gave him a fortune cookie. After he dressed up as Mark Davis, Josh McDaniels on Halloween, and in the fortune cookie, the fortune said, nice job, hot shot, you're fired, or whatever. There's all kinds of rumors coming out.
Yeah, but that was a tweet from some guy.
This is Jay Glazer, and this is legit. Yeah. Believe me, I completely believe I mean, that's
with the Raiders. You'd believe
the
anything.
The part about the Patriots, like him going crazy about that, I'd fire him too. I'd
be like, absolutely, they should have been fired on the spot. Like, what are you talking about? You don't coach for that team anymore. Bro, get out of the building.
He should have been fired way before that. Shouldn't have taken that. Doug Wedge, Dobbs, Hobbs doesn't matter. They're both miracle workers. By the way, he's showing a picture of a Robert Redford as Hobbs from The Natural. Here's our poll question of the hour. Kelly, give him a poll question.
All right, if I can figure out how to do a poll on Twitter, I'm going to tell him to do it. But otherwise, just tweet it. If you hear Gil Alexander say Hobbs during Guessing Lines, do you think The Natural or do you think Fast and the Furious?
That's right.
It's going to give us our ultimate answer of how old is our audience?
Master of Puppets, losing my Atlanta bet was probably one of the best bad beats in my life. Never understood why Atlanta did not put a spy on Dobbs. David Burns, don't care what Josh Dobbs does the rest of his career. The guy's a winner and makes the most of his ability. Arizona got rid of him because you cannot tank with a guy like him. That's a shout.
Yep.
All right, let's roll through a bunch.
All right,
of
here
these.
We go. Early window, Packers at Steelers.
All right, Packers beat the Rams yesterday. The 3-5 Packers at the 5-3. Kelly, 5-3 Pittsburgh Steelers. Green Bay and the Rams yesterday. Pittsburgh obviously coming off extra rest here. Their loss to Jacksonville on Thursday night. But Green Bay after a trade of punts. Brett Rippon, first and 10 at the Green Bay 45. 3:32 left in the first quarter. He fumbled, regained possession. Sacked by Jonathan Owens. Fumbled again. Devondre Campbell recovered. Green Bay short field, 41 yards. Jones in from three. 7-0 Green Bay. Early second quarter. 7-3 at halftime after Lucas Haversick made a 52-yarder for the Rams and Carlson missed a 48-yarder. Third quarter, 7-3 still. Aaron Jones fumble led to a Rams Haversick 49-yard try, which he missed. Then Green Bay matriculated, but on 3rd-and-2 at the Rams 4, they got stopped by an Aaron Donald sack. Carlson 26-yard field goal made it 10-3 with 2:10 left in the third quarter. Real barn burner here. Rams turned it over on downs, pack 3-and-out, rip and pick by Anthony Johnson Jr. led to a Carlson 34-yard field goal to make it 13-3, and then after a Rams 3-and-out, Green Bay went 72 yards. Love to Luke Musgrave from 20 out, 20-3 Green Bay. That's how it would end. Love 20 of 26 for 228. They outgained the Rams 391-187. You know how I was saying the Rams wouldn't, you know, Puka wouldn't be affected by Stafford being out? Yeah, I was wrong. I thought it was Mark Rippon, going back to our previous conversation, and not Brett Rippon.
There you go. Yeah, that would have helped a little more.
That's where I am. Yeah. I didn't have any action in this game, by the way.
Me either.
But the Rams were horrific.
Yeah. I also feel like, I don't know about you, but I feel like I saw about 7 plays from this game.
Yes, as well. That said, Green Bay at Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh -4. I'll say it's more than a field goal.
Close. It is. It's 3.5. 3.5.
Yeah. I feel like if Pittsburgh's going to win one game handily this year, this might be it.
I agree with that. Yeah, I agree with that.
What's next?
All right, let's keep rolling. Titans at Bucks.
Titans, 3-5 Titans at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who are also 3-5. Who did I say played Thursday night? I got that wrong, by the way. Pittsburgh played Tennessee on Thursday night. I said Jacksonville. Jacksonville had a bye. Tennessee they played.
I missed that
one. Tennessee with the extra rest here at Tampa Bay, who lost that unbelievable game to Houston, as we talked about. Mayfield was 21 of 30 for 265, 2 touchdowns, no picks. He was sacked twice in that loss, where, again, Houston relied on a running back to kick a field goal and kick off for them. Tampa Bay -3. What else could it be?
Tampa Bay -1.
I guess it could be -1.
You're not giving Billy Levi's enough credit.
It was a lazy guess of -3. But
is it a game you're really interested in betting?
No.
Yeah,
at all.
These two teams with the quarterback switch in Tennessee and Tampa is going to be. They're a tough, grinded out 3-5 is an appropriate record for them. They're not going to be good. They're not going to be great. But when you're talking the NFC South, they're also not horrible.
This may get the what game do you want no part of choice this week.
It's in the mix for me.
What's next?
49ers at Jags. Probably game of the week.
Game of the week. 5-3 Niners, 6-2 Jags, both coming off a bye. San Francisco -3.
Confirmed game of the week, by the way. Had to make sure it was a mistake.
Oh, I thought my line was confirmed.
Shop around. Right now, this is a big 2.5-3. 2.5s and 3s widely available. So if you're looking to get involved early, shop around because it is 2.5 or 3. I don't know about you, Gil. This one's tough. I might be sitting on the sidelines for this one.
Power rankings are going to be awfully interesting this week.
Yeah. I think if you're telling me I'm catching a full field goal plus, because I have a feeling Niners are going to take money this week, I think it's going to be hard. It'd be Jags or pass.
This is a step up in competition for Jags.
Oh, it is. Big time. Yeah. Big time. Absolutely.
Let's squeeze it one more.
Browns at Ravens.
Well, that's a pretty good game, too. Browns are 5-3. The Ravens are 7-2. The Ravens should be 9-0. And they're the only team you can say that about, quite frankly. Browns, there's really not much to say about this game. They played Arizona yesterday. 3-0. They're up 3-0. First and 10 at their own 40 for Arizona. Down 3-0, I should say. Now, Clayton Tune picked by Denzel Ward. That led to an 11-play, 49-yard drive for Cleveland. Watson pass deflected high in the air, caught by Cooper in the end zone for an 11-yard touchdown. 10-0 Cleveland. 6:48 left in the second quarter. It would be 13-0 at halftime. By the way, the halftime yardage advantage was 193-31. Is that good for Arizona? Third quarter, first and 10 from the for Arizona at their own 20. 9:38 left in the third quarter. Tune sacked by Shelby Harris. Fumbles. Miles Garrett recovered three plays later. Watson to Njoku from five out, 20-0 Cleveland. There's no need to go on. Browns would end up winning it 27-0. Watson, 19 of 30 for 219. Two touchdowns, no picks. He was sacked once. Cooper, 5 for 139 and a touchdown. The Browns held Arizona to 7 first downs, 1 of 12 on third downs, 58 total yards, 17 of which were passing, and they were plus 3 in turnovers, which led to plus 14 Cleveland points, net points. Did it tell us anything about the Browns? Not a damn thing. By the way, if the Cardinals keep playing Clayton Tune, my God. And then there's Baltimore.
Well, it's an interesting.
Kyler Murray this week, though. What we're led to believe at this moment.
I love going back to that tweet. Yeah. You want to get rid of Dobbs because yes, you want to tank, but you bring Kyler Murray in. Is he going to mess that
I have
up?
No idea what they're
doing. But at the same time, you got to show him off if you're going to try to trade him, right?
Do you really?
I don't know.
Okay. Cleveland's at Baltimore. Baltimore, is this team is the Super Bowl representative from the AFC staring in our face all this time. Baltimore against Seattle yesterday. The teams traded punts twice, and Seattle punted yet again. Baltimore went 81 yards on 12 plays, spanning the end of the first and the start of the second quarter. Gus in from 4, 7-0 Baltimore, 13:06 left in the second quarter. After the teams traded turnovers, Geno was picked by Geno Stone. Then Lamar was sacked by Boye Mafe and fumbled. Seattle then went 3 and out. Then Baltimore went 84 yards. Gus in from 3, 14-0 Baltimore, 2:39 left, second quarter. 14-3 game now, 59 seconds left in the second quarter. You're like, well, this half's going to end. No, teams traded turnovers again. First Lamar to OBJ, hit by Trey Brown. He fumbles. Then Bobby Wagner recovered that. Then Seattle set up at the Baltimore 43 with 49 seconds left in the half. Three plays later, Geno sacked by Kyle Van Noy. He fumbles. Broderick Washington recovers. Baltimore then set up at the Seattle 36 with 33 seconds left in the quarter. Leads to a Tucker 37-yard field goal. 17-3. Ravens at the half. 238 to 89 total yards advantage for Baltimore at halftime. Then 23-3 after two Tucker field goals and two Seattle three and outs. Keaton Mitchell, the speedster from 40 out. 30-3 Baltimore with 29 seconds left in the third quarter. They'd add a Huntley, who was in for Lamar at that point, to OBJ touchdown. 37-3 Baltimore. By the way, Baltimore kneeled on it at the end, or it would have been worse on the scoreboard. That's your final. 37-3 Baltimore over Seattle, who's a playoff contender and a top 10, fringe top 10 power rank team. Lamar, 21 of 26 for 187. No touchdowns, no picks. He was sacked once. 10 for 60 with a fumble lost on the ground. Keaton Mitchell, 9 for 138 and a touchdown. They held Seattle, Baltimore did, to 6 first downs, 1 of 12 on third, and they outgained them 515 to 151, 298 to 28 on the ground. 298 to 28.
This was Detroit all over. I mean, they were toast.
This just sounded like what we just read about Cleveland and Arizona. Baltimore by 4.5?
6. You're up to
6. Yeah,
that's
a bad guess. Yeah. 6. 6 makes sense.
I think there are some 5.5 still out there. Kind of open.
Baltimore might go to the Super Bowl, dude. Like, you don't trust Lamar in the playoffs, though, do you?
I don't trust him in big games. But the way they run their offense, I like right now.
More to guess. NFL Week 10 coming up. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin live from Bar Canada at the D. Back to that Baltimore thing for a second. So they're 7-2. They ought to be 9-0. They had no business losing the two games they lost. If I said to you right now, the common question that like non-bettors would ask of you, hey, who's going to be in the Super Bowl this year? Right now, bam, who's your Super Bowl teams? Your time is
Bengals,
running out.
Bengals, Eagles.
I think it's Bengals or Ravens now in the AFC. I really do believe it's the Bengals or the Ravens.
And I still think
it's the Niners in the NFC. Well, I think the Ravens are the team that people sleep on. And even off air, when we were just talking, you just can't buy into Lamar Jackson, can you?
Well, it's always driven me nuts because he's extremely talented. It's just, you know, it's kind of similar to Josh Allen in Buffalo, right? It's the it's whenever Baltimore's had a good defense and a good running game, which they seem to be back to this year more than we really thought they were going to be heading into the season, right? It's just these games, you know, and I guess Dallas would be a fair comp this year too. It's when they can play from ahead and Lamar doesn't have to they don't have to go into desperation mode with him throwing the ball a lot more, which opens him up more to turnovers and turnover plays. They when they can control that part of the game, then they seem dominant and they seem hard to beat.
No team has dominated good opponents like they have.
No, nobody. And I can't, there's no part of that I can argue. Even saying about how they should be undefeated. I can't argue that at all. I absolutely can't argue that. It's just we haven't seen Lamar Jackson really yet of in the big moment having to make the big plays time and time again without making those turnovers. And that's what concerns
me. We'll see if they have to get into that situation.
Yeah.
All right, let's reel off a few more here.
All right, we are into the late window, 4:05 Eastern, Falcons at Cardinals.
The 4-5 Falcons at Arizona, 1-8 now. By the way, those two adjusted season win totals plays that I gave out last week had good weeks. Cincinnati to the over on the adjusted season win total, Atlanta to the under. So hope people jumped on that. Atlanta, Taylor Heineke in defeat, 21 of 38 for 268, one touchdown, one pick. He was sacked once in Atlanta's loss to the Minnesota Vikings. Arizona in that loss once again to the Cleveland Browns. Clayton Tune was 11 for 20 for 58 yards. No touchdowns, two picks. He was sacked seven times. He carried the ball five times for 28 yards, did lose a fumble. And again, Arizona had seven first downs. They were 1 of 12 on third downs. They had 58 total yards, 17 of which were passing, minus 3 in turnovers that led to plus 14 Cleveland net points. I mean, if this is Kyler Murray, then Atlanta will be favored by 3. But if this is Clayton Tune, it's got to be more than that. I'm going to say Atlanta minus 3 because I think they're talking like it's Kyler Murray.
It is Atlanta 2.5, pretty much painted everywhere. I've seen a couple twos though, like it's come down to 2. I'm a little surprised about it too. I don't know.
Let's put it this way: if it's Kyler Murray,
because I think you're right. I think what you just said with the numbers is right.
But if it's Kyler Murray, like I wouldn't bet this game with anybody else's money.
No.
Like I wouldn't want any part. Because what are you trying to do if you're Arizona? Are you trying to win a football game with Kyler Murray? I don't understand what's happening. So I don't want any part of it with a bet.
Yeah. Yeah, no, me. I think you said it right though with the number. What would you need? Well, even in this situation, all right. Let's say it's Clayton Tune. What number would you be willing to lay with the Atlanta Falcons up to?
Not more than a reasonable number. Not more than like 6 at the top.
I don't know if I could get on the other side of a field goal.
I don't know if I could either.
I just don't. Yeah, I think that says everything.
He was so bad yesterday. What's next?
Yes, Lions at Chargers.
Oh, there it is. Lions at Chargers is the game that we've that our power rankings discussion from a couple weeks ago spawned so much hatred about. I'll say this is a Chargers sight unseen because they play the Jets tonight. I couldn't decide between a pick'em or the Chargers by a tick. I'll say a pick'em.
Opened a couple places, Pick'em or Lions 1. It is Lions 1.5 basically everywhere now. Gil, I did bet it Lions at a Pick'em.
Did you?
I bet Lions at a Pick'em yesterday.
I would love for the Chargers to win this game just for everybody to shut up.
I also think, though, this is good. Yeah. Going back to that conversation from 2 weeks ago, not applicable this situation, right? Because Chargers are on Monday night.
Yeah,
Detroit
different.
Coming off of a
That's
bye,
right.
Completely different.
Detroit has extra rest. Chargers are on short rest. All right,
and that is definitely part of my handicap. That combined with Chargers not really having much home field, all that. All right, next up, 4:25 Eastern, Giants at Cowboys.
2-7 Giants, 5-3 Cowboys, both losing yesterday. Giants against the Raiders after a 3-and-out. Raiders went 67 yards, all but one play, 24 yards on the ground. Myers in from 17, 7-0 Raiders. Giants' ensuing drive ends in a failed Tuchus push on 4th-and-1 at the Raiders 34. Jones stuffed for no game. Now, the teams traded punts, but Daniel Jones went down wincing not once but twice. The second time on a non-contact play, we'd later find out it's an ACL injury. Tommy DeVito went in. And by the way, you talked about smashing Atlanta. This was the moment where the entire world smashed the Raiders when Tommy DeVito was announced in this game. Because we saw what Tommy DeVito could, or better said, couldn't do last week. So everybody, including myself, smashed the Raiders at this point, and that proved to be a good bet because after another trade of punts, Raiders went 66 yards. Jacobs in from 2, 14 to nothing, 5:06 left in the second quarter. Then third play of the ensuing drive, DeVito picked by Amik Robertson. Raiders went 60 yards. O'Connell to Trey Tucker for 50 immediately leads to Jacobs in from 1, 28-1 to nothing Raiders with 1:57 left in the second quarter. Then DeVito was picked off a carom by Nate Hobbs, 24 to nothing Raiders at the half. They'd win it 30-6. Jones was 4 of 9 for 25 before he had to leave. DeVito, 15 of 20 for 175. They were minus 2 in turnovers that led to plus 10 Raiders points. So that's the Giants. They're 2-7. And, boy, that alternate under season win total is only a couple weeks away from cashing, quite frankly, on the Giants. Then there's Dallas. If it wasn't for Houston, this might have been the best game of the day. After a Dallas 3-and-out, Philadelphia starts at their own 23. They went 77 yards. Converting a 4th-and-1 at their own 32 on a Tuchus push. Then they survived a strip sack by Sam Williams where the ball went right back to Hurts. And then on a 4th-and-3 at the Dallas 27, Hurts to Goddard for 15, then Gainwell in from 12 on the next play. 7-0 Philly, 546, left in the first quarter. Then Dallas 4th-and-1 at the Philadelphia 33, Dak to Lamb for 29, next play to Ferguson for 4 out, 7-7, 137 left in the first quarter. Then after a Philly 3-and-out, Dallas went 82 yards, Dak to Gavante Turpin from 5 out, 14-7 Dallas, 11:16 left in the second quarter. That's only the second lead change in a Dallas game all season. Then Philly goes 60 yards. Brotherly shove in from one out, 14-14, 5:09 left in the second quarter. Then 17-14 Dallas. Hurts, sacked by Parsons, took a direct blow on his left knee earlier in the play. That would be the halftime score, 17-14, but Hurts just keeps coming, even if he's hurt. Third quarter, they're down 3. Philly takes the opening drive, 75 yards. Hurts to Devonta Smith for 29, 21-17 Philly. Then after a Dallas punt, Philly goes 87 yards, including a Tuchus push conversion on 3rd-and-1 along the way. Hurts to Brown from 4 out, 28-17 Philly, 108 left third quarter. Are they running away with it? No. Ensuing drive, 10-10 to go. Dallas gets it to the 1.5. 4th-and-goal, Dak to Luke Schoonmaker at the goal line, knee down about the ball being, I'd say, with the ball about a half a foot short. No touchdown. Then after a Philly 3-and-out, Dallas 52-yard drive, Dak to Jalen Tolbert from 7-out, makes it 28-23. Remember, the spread is 3 here. But the two-point conversion, no good because Dak stepped out of bounds before he lunged for the pylon. Ball was about a foot shy of the goal line there. So between the Schoonmaker play at the goal line and now this two-point conversion with 6:23 to go, that's the game right there. Then a miserable 3-and-out for Philly as Philly elects to pass on 3rd-and-3 instead of a Tuchus push twice. Dallas starts at their own 26 with 4:43 to go. Get to 1st-and-10 at the Philly 31 with 2:47 to go. Prescott then sacked by Brandon Graham, then by Jalen Carter. 2 minutes to go. 3rd-and-21. Dak to Lamb for 13. 4th-and-8 at the Philly 29. 1:22 to go. Down 5. Dak intended for Tolbert. Incomplete. Ferguson was wide open behind the D. But Dallas has all 3 timeouts left, though. And on 3rd down, Swift runs right into Brown, fumbles, but Philly's Tyler Steen recovers. Fumble luck. 46 seconds to go when Dallas gets the ball back at their own 14 after the punt. 1st-and-10, Dak throws it deep. Bradbury runs right into Gallup for a 36-yard PI pickup. Then at midfield, 40 seconds to go. 10 yards to Ferguson with roughing the passer on Hassan Reddick tacked on. At the Philly 25 with 32 seconds to go, 14 to Lamb. Then 1st-and-10 at the 11 with 27 seconds to go. They trade encroachment and false start penalties. Then Dak sacked by Josh Sweat. No timeouts left over the Cowboys. They don't get off another play until 11 seconds left on the clock. That's incomplete intended for Tolbert in the back of the end zone. 5 seconds left. Then after another Dallas false start, 3rd-and-26 of the 27. Got to get in the end zone. Dak to Lamb for 20. No good. Not good enough. He fumbles anyway. Ball game. Eagles miraculous cover. You got to be kidding me.
Oh, man.
The Eagles overcame to cover that.
Insane.
I'm going to say Dallas minus 14.5 over the Giants.
You're off. It's up to 15.5 or 16.
I suck. More guesses next. Skill Alexander is Kelly Bidlin. We go through the guessing lines process because it has delivered winners. Something about this exercise and the first instinct has really translated through the years, but certainly this year. Just want to go back to that, because I know we got a few more games to get to, but that Cowboys-Eagles game yesterday, which, again, you had the Cowboys in this game.
Yes, I had the Cowboys.
For those of us at the Eagles, again, let me just say, you have to recognize when you just get purely fortunate.
Yeah, I didn't have a bet. I just had him in the contest.
In the contest. So, yes, the Eagles were up 28 to 17. And it looked like, maybe they're going to win this game, comfortably. That did not come to pass. But you just think of the things that they had to overcome. Again, the Schoonmaker play at the goal line, which was initially ruled a touchdown, but then was reversed, right? That was a fourth down play. Then the Dak two-point conversion where he steps out before he can put the ball over the mm-hmm. goal line. Then the fumble, which, again, just like in that Houston game, when you recover your own fumble deep inside your territory, your brain tends to purge it. But in the case of Steen here with the Eagles, that he lands on that fumble, that third down play, the Eagles are just trying it, and DeAndre Swift runs right into A.J. Brown, the ball drops, and Tyler Steen, recovers that football. That's another thing. Okay. And then the Cowboys get the ball. You're like, okay, well, they got to go all the way downfield. Then Bradbury just runs into Gallup. Hassan Reddick roughs Dak. Next thing you know, Dallas is in scoring position. Use the old baseball phrase. The fact that they were able to withstand that, again, a bailout Josh Sweat sack where the Cowboys had no time left, and so they didn't get another playoff till 11 seconds were left, and then finally one with 5 seconds left. By that time, they needed another false start. They needed 27 yards. They threw it short, and CeeDee Lamb fumbled it anyway. But there were so many things in that game that had to go the Eagles' way to cover.
The CeeDee Lamb, the one right at the end.
Oh, there's nothing you can do there.
It wouldn't even count. People keep bringing that up it belongs in the same sense.
No.
He threw it short of the end zone. What am I? It's hard for me to cut him slack.
No.
The 2-point conversion, that was the tough one. Where he's
live, I thought he was in.
I thought he was in, too. And then and then it's one of those, you see those replays, and you're like, man, Dak, I know it's really easy for me to say sitting on the couch here, but it's like that's something you got to be real careful with.
What was the game? I want to say it was the Thursday night game with the Steelers and the Titans, where I actually texted Wishnev and Will Hill, have you seen a team of receivers, talking about the Steelers now, that have less sideline recognition than these guys have? They're always stepping out of bounds. That entire team is like, there's a sideline. You really try to keep
I can't see what's his name? Gunnar Olszewski anymore. Now he's on the Giants hour. I can't see him anymore without thinking about the kickoff tap the toes at the sideline.
So the same question. The Eagles are 8-1. Cowboys are 5-3. Again, Cowboys a bully that beats up on every team that's worse than them. Here they should they have won? No, but they certainly could have, maybe should have. Do you think of the Cowboys any better than you did beforehand? Dak has been pretty good.
Glad you asked it this way. Yeah. That way. The Cowboys lost that game, and I'm more impressed with them sitting here today than I was heading.
I think so too. Me too. That's the big takeaway for me in that game. And does Philly have enough? Because they win a lot of close games,
mm-hmm.
whether it's Dallas or Washington or whoever. Do they have enough to get to or win a Super Bowl? Right now, I don't know.
So the one I think I've been pretty...
And Hurts is hurt.
Yeah, I think I've been pretty clear about this on the show. There are guys, Hurts, Josh Allen, Watson, that it's been either kind of stay away from or bet against for me just because I know they're hurt. We just don't really know how much with almost all of them. But they're the one team that kind of keeps winning through it, right?
Philly no matter does. What. No matter what you throw at them.
Yeah, that's where I still believe in them, Gil, because I do think as long as Hurts is able to get healthier, I think they get even better, and we'll start to see them win a little bit more by March.
See, I think, remember there were those 2 weeks, I don't know which weeks they were. They were week 4 or 5 or week 5 or 6, whichever weeks they were, where we came in here, we're like, wow, this product has been awful, just from a viewing standpoint. I think besides those 2 weeks, the NFL has been awesome. Awesome.
Yesterday was the best Sunday of the year.
I thought so, too.
Yeah.
And, I think the fact that we don't know, the fact that Kansas City appears diminished, the fact that Miami and Dallas are bullies, the fact that Philly, even though they're winning, feels a little less than last year's version, but that Burrow keeps doing Burrow things, that the Ravens are sort of lying in the weeds, that the Niners, everybody, they're the most complete team. I certainly feel that way. But they had some injuries, and so now they're 5-3. People seem, I don't know if people have forgotten about the Niners, right? I just think we have a great stretch run, great second half of the season coming up.
Speaking of the Niners, would you like your line update?
Yes.
They're getting smashed this morning. We're up to 3.
Oh, I guess 3. Yeah.
Yeah. Remember I was saying there was 2.5s out there? There was a lot of 2.5s. Yeah. They're gone.
Because the Niners are great, man. They're a better football team.
I mean, coming in, look, coming off bye, right? Debo's supposed to be back, I believe, for this game.
Trent Williams is the big one. Yeah. Trent Williams is the big one. All right, let's do the rest of these if we can. Are we still in the afternoon?
We are. Commanders at Seahawks. Commanders at Seahawks.
4-5 Commanders. I have the alt season win totals over on the Commanders. I got to get them to 8-9. Can they go 4-4 the rest of the way? They're 4-5 now. They're at Seattle, who's 5-3. Does Seattle feel fraudulent to you? It does to me. It do to me. Howell yesterday, by the way, 29 of 45 for 325 in victory, I should say, over the Patriots. One touchdown, one pick. He was sacked three times. They outgained New England. Washington did 432 to 327, and they out-time of possession them 37-10 to 22-50. Geno in defeat, 13, Kelly. 13 for 28 for 157. No touchdowns, one pick. He was sacked four times. He lost a fumble. And again, Seattle against Baltimore. Only had six first downs. They were 1 of 12 on third. They were outgained 515 to 151, 298 to 28 on the ground. The ground is supposed to be their bread and butter. And out time of possession, if you will, 40-04 to 1956. I put Seattle in no man's land, 5.5.
That is where it opened, about 5.5, 6. It is mainly 6.5s out there now. I did bet Seattle at 5.5.
Okay, not only are these guesses, like, really easy this week, it sucks because literally I only like one game so far.
Yeah, I laid the 5.5 with Seattle. I hear what you're saying. The thing is, it's just Geno. We're really just talking about Geno. It's you know, when the Seahawks play well, we want to be like, hey, you know, I think of last year made us forget a little bit that Geno Smith is still Geno Smith. Like, there are times where he's going to lose a game for you. And I'm like, yesterday, the way that game started off, they got destroyed in the trenches. Like, I got so many texts about Geno. He sucks. Like, so many times, there's a guy in his face right away. So, I don't know. I laid it with Seahawks.
You did lay the points.
Yeah, I laid 5.5.
Okay.
Laid 5.5.
All right.
I thought that, I did think this number was going to move their way, too. All right, Sunday night, here's a thriller. Jets at Raiders.
Wow, another primetime barn burner right here. Jets, sight unseen. They play the Chargers tonight.
Like, flex scheduling is still a thing, right? That's still an option?
Flex away, NFL. Like, whatever you need to do.
What are we waiting on?
We got plenty of flex options. Flex doesn't start this early, does it? Does it start this early?
I thought it did now.
Jets are 4-3 currently. That record will change tonight. And the Raiders are 4-5. That's why there's a two-game difference, because the Jets haven't played. Raiders, O'Connell in victory. Aiden O'Connell, 16 for 25 for 209 against the Giants. Josh Jacobs, 26 carries, 98 yards, two touchdowns. Again, they were plus two in turnovers against what turned out to be the Tommy DeVito-led Giants. The Raiders win it in Antonio Pierce's debut, 30-6. Jets.
Real quick, I forgot they adjusted this stupid rule. So they can only flex two games between week 5 and 10, and then 11 through 17 they can flex whatever.
Right, so that's what I was saying. So this is the last week where they have the constraint. But have they flexed anything yet?
I don't know.
Right, so they should be able to here.
I would think. This would be the one I'd flex out.
Jets minus 2.5 on the road.
This is, I believe you are dead on, Jets 2.5 on the road.
Bingo, bango. Because Jets have the best unit, right? The defense is the best unit by far. So that's the handicap, really.
Yeah.
Against Aiden O'Connell.
Jets team, so hard to bet on or bet against, for me at least right now, because of that, right? The defense is so good, but then Zach Wilson's out.
This is a tough week. Let's do the last one here, Monday night.
All right, Monday night, Broncos at Bills, which is somehow the best of the three primetime games.
Really? Good God. Broncos coming off a bye. They're 3-5. Buffalo 5-4. The Buffalo Bills are 5-4 after last night. Josh Allen, 26 of 38 for 258, one touchdown, one pick. He was sacked once, eight carries, 44 yards, and a touchdown. But they were minus two in turnovers. That led to plus three net Cincinnati points yesterday. They end up losing by 6. Buffalo minus 7 in the hook, I will say.
Ding, ding, ding. 7.5.
Exactly 7.5.
Yep.
Let me tell you something. That might have been the easiest week of line guessing. That might have been the most accurate collective week of line guessing ever.
I think so. You've actually had a couple this year that were really close, but this one...
That one is so easy to get through.
Yeah, when I was typing in your guesses this morning, I was like, I thought the same thing. I was like, I think this is where Gil might be the closest this entire year.
Minnesota's the only thing I like. I mean, that's the thing I like the best of the bunch.
Was that was the one where you had the different favorite, right?
Different favorite.
I mean, we're still bouncing in there.
I could be talked into a couple others, but that's the big one. We'll talk Survivor on the other side. Who's your MVP at this point? Guessing Lines. Week 10, National Football League, right here on a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
College basketball tips off today. Kelly, how many bets you got? 10, 20, 30?
37.
And there's still time to get your copy of our annual betting guide. This year's guide includes Matt Heumann's top 25 rankings. Who could be this season's Florida Atlantic? All 32 conferences previewed, Wooden Award candidates, futures, and season-long prop bets. The only way to get the guide is to become a VSiN Pro subscriber. Sign up now for just $120. Get VSiN Pro access to everything we do until May 1st. That's all college basketball season long, March Madness and beyond for only $120. Sign up today at vsin.com/subscribe. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin live at Bar Canada at the D. By the way, to our question about Hobbs, you know, what does one think of? Because I refer to Joshua Dobbs as Joshua Hobbs.
Yeah, it took
Hobbs.
You too long to figure out an actual poll on Twitter, so I gave up.
You know what most people are coming back with? We said, the Natural or Fast and Furious?
Mm-hmm.
Calvin and Hobbs.
Yeah. You're right. That was what we're getting tweeted the most.
We'd be awful on, like, Family Feud or Match Game. Something like that. We get tweets, Sports Pick Magic. I know it wasn't your take, but it's not just Gino when you give up 37 points and 550 yards and the other team takes a knee at the end to keep from completely embarrassing you, more than just the quarterback. He's absolutely right.
Yeah, sure.
Absolutely right about that. Jeff Lamont.
I mean, that game was still, I think those games, when you talk the Lions game against the Ravens and the Seahawks game against the Ravens, it's almost you can't really evaluate much past the first quarter and a half because it just turns into a blowout territory.
Yeah,
they got dominated in the trenches. That's where it started.
Though it does run the risk of that you take your eye off the ball with the Ravens too, right? Where you're like, oh, we should be paying attention to just how badly they're crushing these teams, right? Jeff Levine, he's the Roquan Smith guy. No Watts, no other ego-driven sack studs, just a wonderfully coordinated and designed D steered on-field by leader Roquan Smith. Yup, I will champion this until he gets the recognition he deserves.
They're great. Nothing he's saying is wrong.
Jesse Welch. Apparently all you need to do in the NFL in order to win is to sign a new quarterback every Wednesday and put them in straight off the plane. It's a good strategy. It's working out for teams this year. I want to say one thing. So as we go to our Week 10 plays, I like Minnesota best, but obviously we're going to have five contest picks, and there's going to be other bets in there. We're going to be talked into other bets. So I'm just thinking, what are, right now, if you said to me, you must pick three, right? Minnesota would be one of them, based on the exercise we just went through. I think Pittsburgh would be number two. I hate to say it. Hosting Green Bay, what did you say the line was, three? Is that an even three on Pittsburgh?
Let me see where we're up to now.
Or was it three and a half?
Three and a half.
Oh, not as fun. But I think maybe Pittsburgh hosting Green Bay. And I hate to say it, but you know what number three is? Dallas laying the wood against the Giants. Because couldn't you see Dallas winning that by four touchdowns?
Yeah, we've seen it a few times already.
We have already, right?
I
don't love those, but that's what my top three would be right now.
Let's see. I have bet Lions and Seahawks already. Lions in a pick 'em, Seahawks at 5.5. So I guess those would be two of my answers.
Okay.
I have no idea. The three, filling out the other three will be tough. That's for sure.
You really have no problem laying those points with the Seahawks against Washington. I could see that going.
Yeah, I think that they are.
And the Lions is a
I think there's a lot of these teams in the NFL where it is. Yeah, am I gonna really trust the Seahawks up against top-level competition? Probably not. That was probably clearly a misguided bet that I ended up on with them last week in Baltimore. I think them playing against the Commanders at home is a completely different story.
Yep.
We say it often.
Right.
1 week in the NFL to the next week is a very different story week after week. So
I don't hate either of them, quite frankly.
That one, and then I actually bet the over on I bet over 46 on Texans, 46.5 on Texans and Bengals.
All right, let's talk about MVP for a second. Well, first, Survivor. I'm just going to go again. We're both out of it. Kelly and I have been long gone out of Survivor. As we mentioned at the top of the show, there are still in Circa Survivor, pending the game tonight, there are 1,138 entries left. 1,138. This game hasn't even started yet. After week three, before I got bounced with my Washington pick against Chicago, I did map out who I would pick every week. Sadly, besides that one loss, I'd still be in it too, which sucks because I'm rooting for a second loss so I can be clear of it in my mind also. This past week was either New Orleans or Cleveland. I probably would have split them. This week is for me because I would have used Buffalo already and I have to save Dallas. So this week is Cincinnati for me. Cincinnati would have been my survivor play this week.
Now, at the time when you were mapping that out.
Cincinnati hosting, by the way, once again, the
Houston Texans.
Houston Texans, yeah. But which, by the way, I don't love, but like that would be my pick.
When you were mapping it, when were you mapping this out?
After week three.
So what was Joe Burrow's status, though? All I'm getting at was, would you don't think your answer would change on Cincinnati? Maybe not saving them?
No, when I was going through them, I was like, okay, when is the most optimal time to use them? Do I need to save them? Cincinnati, I was like, I can get by the weeks where Burrow's getting healthier. Wait till week nine, play him at Houston. Play him at home against Houston.
I mean, don't get me wrong. They're in the toughest division in football. They're going to have some tough games coming up.
I am rooting for me to lose one of these just so I, again, don't have the mental thing of, that one game. Then as far as MVP, and the reason I bring this up again, because obviously, again, we said C.J. Stroud, offensive rookie of the year. It's done, barring, God forbid, an injury. It's his. Setting records yesterday, yardage for rookies, matched it with touchdowns. But MVP continues to be fascinating. And the reason I bring it up again is because last week we had multiple guests on the show, and each one of them, right, I'll just use two as an example, before I could even finish the sentence, Kelly, right, with Drew Dinsick, it's like, it's Patrick Mahomes, and basically you were saying on his podcast, he essentially is like, and if you don't think it's Patrick Mahomes, you're wrong.
No, that's not what he was saying. He was just saying people hadn't been giving him enough due credit, basically, leading in weeks.
I like it phrased my way better. Eric Eager, Dr. Eric Eager, before I could finish the sentence, was like, Josh Allen, period. The analytics folks love themselves some Josh Allen. You think either of those guys are the MVP? I don't. Like, do you think either of them leaps off the page as the MVP?
No. They don't leap off the page. I think that's why the odds are what they are right now. Would you like updated MVP odds?
Well, I'll give them to you right now. Lamar is plus 350, and so's Jalen Hurts, and so's Patrick Mahomes. We have co-favorites.
Yep. Yeah, I think
that says it all, right?
It's fairly accurately priced.
Tua drops to plus 650, and Joe Burrow, who we recommended on the show last week at 20-1, is 7-1. And then Christian McCaffrey's 14-1. Tyreek remains 40-1.
Wild.
Josh Allen 20-1. Trevor Lawrence 20-1. Brock Purdy 25-1. Some people were floating Jared Goff last week. He's 40-1. Justin Herbert's 50-1. Dak is 50-1.
What if I told you? What if I told you there was a quarterback out there?
Yeah.
Okay. Who's played in 8 games?
Uh huh.
So, not 9, like a lot of these other guys have.
Yeah.
Is still 7th in the league in passing yards, has thrown 14 touchdowns, and has 1 interception. And his team does not have a winning record.
Does not have a winning record.
Trying to think. I don't remember what. Are you so bad with records as I am? Because all we do is bet? Like, I don't care. I don't care what your win losses are.
No, I consult the standings and I tell you what the records are. Who are you referring to?
That is C.J. Stroud.
Okay, he's not winning MVP.
Yeah, I know, but...
he's winning Rookie of the Year.
I mean, a lot of those guys we're talking about, his stats are right up there.
I just keep getting to the Lamar Jackson thing, right? In the same way that we're just staring at the Ravens every week, they're the only team, literally, that you can say they should be 9-0. In the same way that we stare at them and we don't, for whatever reason, we don't want to put them at the top, are we also staring at Lamar Jackson in this MVP market and saying the same thing? He's plus 350. I know it's not that sexy. I'm not suggesting that it is. But is he, like, if they go, won't this, I mean, I guess that we could say this about Jalen Hurts too. If the Eagles are the, who ends up with the best record? If the Eagles go 15-2 or the Ravens go 15-2.
Yeah. I don't know.
If they both go 15-2, that immediately, nullifies the question.
Right.
Because then you can't answer it. But if one of them goes 15-2 and they have the best record in all of football and they play the whole way through, aren't they kind of the MVP if nobody else?
Yeah, yes. And it's that was largely, yes, Drew was bringing up Mahomes when he was saying this, but when he brought this up 2 or 3 weeks
ago. That applies to Mahomes too. Yeah.
2 or 3 weeks ago, he brought this up where he thought whoever finished with the 1 seed in the AFC.
Yes, he did.
That quarterback would be your MVP.
Oh, and the only reason I'm saying it that way, though, is because no one has stood out. So
correct.
It becomes a tiebreaker, in essence.
No, I completely agree.
right? Because I believe who has stood out, I believe it was Tyreek Hill till this past weekend, right? Like, I believe in terms of, if you're just doing it based on historical performance, Tyreek Hill ought to be your MVP.
I mean, I guess
we've already discussed that ad nauseum. But Joe Burrow with an injury, they stink. Now he doesn't have an injury. They're awesome. I mean, you can make a case for
it's a reason why he went from 20 to 1 to 7 to 1, right? In over a weekend.
Yes. And by the way, Josh Allen, who is clearly not the MVP, but like if you take him off the Bills, how bad are they?
Exactly.
This is the most wide open MVP discussion we've ever had at the halfway mark of the season. And then there's Brock Purdy chilling at 25 to 1, who's like, hey, what if we're awesome in the end? My answer is this. I don't know who to bet on.
I don't know.
If you forced me to bet, I wouldn't know who to bet on today. We've done all we can do. Best Bets is next. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
NFL Total Access, the podcast, is getting you ready for the 2024 NFL Draft. I'm your host, Andrew Levy, and I'll be delivering two shows a week to make sure you're caught up on the very latest NFL news, including every free agency move and how it changes the draft needs of your favorite team. Draft experts and talent scouts, mock drafts, and a few shock drafts, too. NFL Total Access, the podcast, is already on the clock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.